Since you have the privilege of teaching lessons from the life of Abraham this week, I'd like to give you some amplification of number 1 under discussion questions, as well as number 12 in your teacher's guide on page 44 and 45. If you had been an inhabitant of the city when Abraham got ready to leave without having a set destination, you may have been invited to his going away party. You could have had a conversation with him that went something like this. Where did you say you'd be going, Abraham? That way. Taking Sarah on a vacation, are you? No. Well, when will you be back? We're not coming back. What is it you'll be doing again? Starting a nation. Well, nation starters are pretty hard to come by. Personnel directors rarely ever get a call for one. Then you'd probably try to ease away before he realized you thought that he was nuts. You may have thought of him every Christmas as you exchanged family Christmas portraits. Here came the same picture, Abe and Sarah, year after year. And you could have remarked to some of his old friends, well, too bad about old Abraham. Guess his starting a nation fell through. Today, oddly enough, there are 3 major religions of the world that claim Abraham. He followed God when you and I probably would have thought him insane. But we see from his character study that that was quite a path he took. In question 12, I suggested you ask the group what they thought the leading lesson taught by his life was. Let's consider 3 or 4 together. One truth Abraham brought home to me is that God can be trusted. Have faith in God. This is substantiated in the New Testament also. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And in John 6:28 and 29, we see Jesus involved in a conversation over faith. They replied, what should we do to satisfy God? I think the King James says, what should we do to do the works of God? Jesus told them, this is the will of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. I think in King James it says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. In Romans 4:20 through 22, there is a direct reference by the Apostle Paul to Abraham's faith. But Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger, and he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God forgave his sins and declared him not guilty. Abraham's human weakness is another meaningful point of identification for me. Why was he still useful and effective, even though he lied more than once about his wife being his sister? Because he responded correctly to God. And with God, there's always a future for failures. You may have asked yourself many times since you became the leader of this Bible discussion group, what if I fail? Well, if you do, you're in good company. Moses wanted to be a missionary, but he became a murderer, and for 40 years was hiding from the law of Egypt, a miserable failure. When he was called from the burning bush, he tried to wiggle out. And Exodus 4:14 says that God was angry with him. Certainly a failure, a reluctant servant, and yet Moses' finest hour was ahead of him. Jacob was chosen of God from his mother's womb. He cheated his brother, deceived his father, stole from his uncle, who was to become his father-in-law. He was a miserable failure as a son, a brother, a son-in-law, and a husband. You remember he refused to love his wife Leah, and yet he is the one that God named Israel, which means Prince with God. His finest hour was ahead of him. David was appointed by God to be king. David the giant killer, the one who was jealous for God's reputation, the brave warrior, the wise king, the great leader. Yet look at the lust that overcame him in the matter of Bathsheba. He took another man's wife. She became pregnant. He sent for her husband, who was in battle. He came home and refused to go into his wife because his men were still in the field. David then sent word to the commanding general to have him put in the front of the battle and killed. Uriah is murdered. The baby is born. God's curse is upon David and Bathsheba's fruit. The baby dies. Now look at David. standing before the casket of an illegitimate child, holding the hand of another man's wife whom he had murdered, a miserable failure, yet his finest hour was yet ahead of him. No matter how miserably and consistently we have failed, 1 John 1:9 still applies, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that we never can wear out God's forgiveness? He wants to give us joy and victory, and you know he's able to. A third lesson Abraham can teach us is that of being a friend of God. We learned in the study that he was called God's friend. Why? What does it mean to be a friend of God? How can we have that quality of fellowship with God? Well, there are five principles of such a friendship. 1, we have to have a desperate desire to know God. 2, we have to have a desire to know God's way in order that we might obey him. God reveals what he is doing now to some people, but many people today are too spiritually insensitive to recognize the hand of God in circumstances or in the lives of others. And precious few people does God show his ways, that is, the way he's heading and what he intends to do. 3, we need to recognize what grace means. We should know who we are and who God is. In 1 Corinthians 1:29 in the New English Bible it says, "So there is no place for human pride in the presence of God." We need to figure out that it is not our production or works or goodness, but the grace of God upon which we are leaning. 4, we need a desire for God's personal presence and a willingness to play for the long ball game. In verse 26 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, J.B. Phillips translates it this way, "He considered the reproach of Christ more precious than all the wealth of Egypt, for he looked steadily at the ultimate, not the immediate reward," talking about Moses. 5, we have to look in the right place. 2 Chronicles 20:12 shows the importance of looking in the right place. As Jehoshaphat was faced by 3 armies, he said, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Then you remember Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus." That's still good advice. The last lesson we look at in Abraham's life is that he had a real concern that his son marry well. The problem of a bad marriage plagued many men in the Scriptures. Ahab acted foolishly in marrying Jezebel, and we see the after effects in 2 Kings 9, verse 7. "And you shall strike the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel." Solomon, 1 Kings 11, records, "loved many foreign women, who, when he was old, turned away his heart, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been." Well, teacher, may the worthwhile traits of Abraham find their way into your character and mine. God bless you.